we conclude now our series of shiurim on mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. The Tashbat discusses a shaila regarding someone who, before he passed away, he requested that his daughter marry a specific individual and his son should marry a specific girl. Does the halacha mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes apply then as well? So he says that, as we discussed in previous year, it really depends how the father verbalized this request. If the father verbalized the request as a tzavo, making it very clear that this is what he wanted, then there's a halacha, he says, of mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes, even under these situations. If, however, he didn't use such an absolute language, so as we have been discussing as well, the halacha is that there's a difference if he used the lashon tzavah. We discussed it in explaining the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph versus using the word tenu. The Shalos Tshuvos Shvus Yaakov Chelek Aleph Sim Kuf Samaches discusses a situation where there was a woman who was not well, and she said to her children that should there be any dispute amongst you after I pass away, how to deal with the Yerusha, I want all questions to be decided by a certain individual who was a relative of hers. And all of the children agreed. They shook hands on it, so to speak, even. And now she passed away. And one of the children says that this individual is an Amoritz, and he's certainly not qualified to paskin a din Torah. And the question is, are they obligated to still use him to settle any disputes, or could they at least demand that he not paskin any questions by himself, but he only perhaps could be part of a Besdin? Particularly, he's claiming, this brother, that besides the fact that this individual who was chosen is an Amoritz, he's also claiming that he particularly likes one brother more than the other brothers. You shook hands, you gave your mother your word. He said that he only did it because his mother was so sick and he didn't want to bother her, didn't want to upset her as she was laying in such a sick situation. So Shush Yaakov says that the halacha of mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes only applies to financial matters, not anything else. He says, one of the rais, he says, the Gemara says, that the halacha regarding kibud av v'em is mechabdoi b'chayov u'b'moisoi. So the question is, if there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes, so then why do we have to have a special limud that there's an obligation of kibud av v'em after a parent passes away? So we see, because the chi of kibud is not specifically to financial matters, mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes is limited to financial matters. And he brings a raya, because the pasuk says in Parshas Vayichi that the brothers come to Yosef and they tell him, Avicha tziva lefnei Moshe lema, your father told us, Ona sona pesha achicha, forgive your brothers, v'yom aleim Yosef al tiro, don't worry. So we see that the only reason he was obligated to do it was because he told them, you don't have to worry. He didn't tell them, I wouldn't do it because my father told me not to do it. I mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. But here was a non-financial issue, and there's no mitzvah kaim divrei hames. The shailos hatshuvos Yehuda Yala from Rabbi Yehuda Osa and Chelik Beis Avin Ezra Simim Mem Dalid says that he disagrees with the Rav of Shvus Yaakov. He says that we find at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi that Yaakov Avinu made Yosef swear that he'll bury him in Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, the Ramban asked the question, why did Yosef have to swear? Was Yaakov Avinu, if Yaakov Avinu asks Yosef, he won't do it? So, says the Ramban, the only reason he swore was because if Paroi will not let him take Yaakov to Eretz Yisrael, he'll be able to say, I have to because I swore. So we see that the Ramban is obviously of the opinion that not for the concern of Paroi, he wouldn't have to swear and he would have to do it anyway because mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. So maybe we see from here the mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames even applies to non-financial matters as well. And I saw that the Shailos HaTshuvos Cheshukei Chemed discusses this shaila as well. Is if a father asked a son to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, is he obligated to do so because of mitzvah kaim divrei hames? And it goes back to what we've been discussing, Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, which the Shulchan Aruch follows, that if the money wasn't set aside, there is no concept of mitzvah kaim divrei hames, and therefore we can't, and therefore there's no concept of mitzvah kaim divrei hames here, but certainly he says that lefnim mishuras adin, we should certainly bury him. And now he has, there's a discussion, he says, amongst the paiskim, can we force someone to fulfill something which he's only obligated to do lefnim mishuras adin, but certainly not in the category mitzvah kaim divrei hames. The Cheshukei Chemed also discusses a different shaila. He discusses a shaila where there was a girl who was introduced to a boy who wasn't a Ben Torah. And the father said, I prepared a very nice dowry with the intention that my daughter should marry a Talmud Chacham. This boy is not a Talmud Chacham. Now the father passed away, and again this boy was mentioned to the girl. And the girl is actually interested in this boy. And the boy is agreeing that he'll be kavei itam l'tayra, he'll learn every day. And the mother now comes with a number of questions. The questions really are four questions. Is there an issue of mitzvah kaim divrei hames here? Is there a mitzvah that the almana should fulfill the wishes of her husband who didn't want his daughter to marry this boy? If they do get married, does the girl get the dowry that the father had prepared for her? And is the fact that the boy had accepted upon himself to learn every day change his status into being a Ben Torah, that is what the father wanted for his daughter? So again, Cheshukei Chemed says we have the opinion of the Shvus Yaakov that mitzvah kaim divrei hames is only regarding financial matters. And here, where it's not a specific, the actual getting married is mitzvah l'kayim, there is no mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. Moreover, it's not clear in halacha if a father could prevent a child from getting married to the person that they want to get married. The next question is a wife continue to obligated to respect and follow the wishes of a husband after her husband passes away. And he says that there was a tshuva in the Noida Behuda that somebody told his wife before he passed away that she shouldn't marry their daughter to a certain person. And now he passes away, and the girl's mother thinks that it is a very appropriate shidduch. The Noida Behuda says that Almana has no longer an obligation to fulfill her husband's wishes after he passes away. On the other hand, there is, and so too, on the other hand, he quotes a Shas Tshuvas Machna Chaim that says it seems that there is an obligation for a wife to continue respecting her husband after he passes away. The question regarding the girl getting the dowry goes back to another issue that we discussed, and that is, how did the father express what he wanted? If he said it b'loshen tzavor, so then there may be a mitzvah kind of remes. If he didn't use very strong language, then it's not necessarily a situation of mitzvah kaim deremes. Regarding the last question, is a person who accepts upon himself to learn every day, is that enough to be considered a ben Torah? He says it really depends on where you live. If where you live, a person who just learns every day, has a shiur every day, is considered a ben Torah, so then maybe this boy's agreeing that he's going to learn every day is enough to make him into ben Torah. But if you live in a place where ben Torah is only considered a yeshiva bacher who sits in yeshiva and doesn't just learn a shiur during the day, that isn't enough to make him be considered a ben Torah. So halach lemaisa, he says, certainly this girl can marry the boy. There is no issue here of mitzvah kaim divrei meis. The mother should try to stand off from being involved, because we have a machlokes of the Machna Chaim versus the Noida Behuda. Regarding the dowry, it depends on how the father expressed his desire. And regarding, is he a ben Torah? Again, it goes back to who is considered a ben Torah in that place. The Shalos HaTshuvos Tzitz Eliezer has another very interesting shaila. This is in Chelik Hay. He has there a kuntris called Evan Yaakov, which deals with Hilchas Avelus. And the question there is, that there was a father who told his children, I don't want you to say Kaddish for me. What should the children do? He says, he quotes a Shalos HaTshuvos Evan Shoyam, that the children shouldn't say Kaddish, if that's what the father wanted. And he says the Sefer Kolboy on Hilchas Avelus actually agrees with that psak. He quotes a Shalos HaTshuvos Shoyel HaMeshiv, where there was a father who left at Tzavo, that one of his children, he had a number of sons, that one of his sons should not say Kaddish. So he says that given that there are other sons who will say Kaddish, and given that the purpose of the Kaddish is for the benefit of this neshama, so if the father doesn't want that benefit, he has a right to say that I don't want this son to say Kaddish, and the son shouldn't say Kaddish. However, he says the story from the Yeshua's Yaakov, where there was somebody in the family who was a big misnagid, who had a son who became a chassid. And we know The Chassidim daven Nusach Sfard, and they say V'yatzmach Burkonei when they say Kaddish. As Mesnagdim daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and they don't say V'yatzmach Burkonei. And the question was, this father did not want that the Kaddish that said after him, they should say a Kaddish that has in it V'yatzmach Burkonei. That's why he didn't want this son to say Kaddish, because he knew that as a Chassid he would say that Nusach. He says that the Yeshua Yaakov said that he should say the Kaddish with a very interesting reason. He says if he won't say Kaddish, people will say, why is he not saying Kaddish? It must be that he's not saying Kaddish because he's not really his son. And then people may say that he's a mamzer. And in order to protect his own reputation, he's allowed to say Kaddish. He quotes a Shailos HaTshuvos Pri Asada that also quotes such a situation, and he says that the son is obligated to say Kaddish, even if the father doesn't want him to say Kaddish. Again, all the Paiskim differentiate between situations where there's more than one son or there's only one son. And certainly they feel that in a situation where there's only one son, the son should certainly say Kaddish under all circumstances. When there's more than one son, and there was only one son that apparently was in a dispute with his father, then they take a different approach. He quotes a Shailos HaTshuvos Chemed Moshe, where again, there the situation was that the father doesn't want Kaddish said after him, but the sons say it's terribly embarrassing to them that they should not say Kaddish after the father died. And he takes an interesting approach. He says, why did the father in that case say that he doesn't want his sons to say Kaddish after him? Because there was a sinner, there was some sort of a hatred between the father and the son. So he says, when the father comes to the Olam HaEmes, when the father comes to the Olam HaEmes, all of these petty fights and sinner all falls away. And therefore the father now has no longer an issue with his son saying Kaddish. Moreover, the Chemdas Moshe gives another piece of advice. It's not always applicable. He says that the mother, who's still alive, should say to tell the sons, I want you to say Kaddish after your father. Because the halacha is that children are more obligated to listen to what their father says, to what their mother says. But that's only when both parents are still Baruch Hashem alive. In a situation where the father passed away and the mother is alive, so then they have more of an obligation to listen to what their mother says. So if the mother who's still alive is telling them to say Kaddish, and so they have a chiv kibur aim to say that Kaddish, and the father who's not alive had told them to not say Kaddish, now they're obligated to say Kaddish. Really, this is his approach. But according to the Machne Chaim that we quoted earlier in our shir, that says that a mother, a wife, still continues to be obligated to show respect to her husband even after he passes away, then I'm not sure how he would say what he would say to this. He also says that, again, the Shulchan Aruch, let's say there are more than one Ovel, and one of them is an Ovel like our situation, where the father doesn't want he should say Kaddish, and the other are Avelim, well, of course the father never said such a thing. Since it's not quite clear that since it's not quite clear that he should be saying the Kaddish, but the other Avelim certainly should be saying Kaddish after their father who passed away. So they have a Kedima, over this son who was told not to say Kaddish. Moreover, he says that he makes two more interesting points. One point that he discusses is that if the father had not wanted to say, that the son should say Kaddish for him, because as we discussed earlier, there was some sort of animosity between the father and the son. So what the son should do is he should go to the cemetery with 10 people and ask Nechila of the father, and that will make it easier for him to say the Kaddish. He also discusses a situation where the father did not want the son to say Kaddish because the father was not a religious Jew and the father didn't believe in Kaddish. That's why he didn't want his son, who obviously was religious, to say Kaddish. Again, here probably as well, we could apply the concept that we mentioned a moment ago from the Chemnitz Moshe, that once the person comes to the Olam HaEmes, he recognizes the truth, and his non-belief falls away. And the Kaddish, we know, and as he discusses, is a tremendous kapara and a tremendous taiva for the neshama who's no longer here. So to summarize, certainly if it's a situation where he's the only son, even if the father asks that he shouldn't say Kaddish, he should say Kaddish. Even in a situation where there's more than one son, but the son, by not saying Kaddish, will be embarrassed, or people will say, maybe you really weren't a son, then he should say Kaddish. If it was a situation, if he still has a mother, he should ask his mother to tell him to say Kaddish. If it was because of an animosity, he should go ask Mechila to his father by his kever, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help, that we should always be able to be mitzvah kaim divrei emes, that we should always be able to better do the mitzvah of kibud av va'em with our parents alive, and l'man yarichun yamecha.